following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody. How are you guys doing tonight? Yeah, man, it is a change in season. It definitely feels a lot cooler. Fall has officially hit, and I am completely like sleeping so well at night because the last like 2 months, I don't know what happened, but this was one of the weirdest weathers, summers. It was humid, it was hot, and it was difficult to sleep. So anyway, hey, tonight, we got a great message. Bill asked me about a week ago to, come back up and to teach on one of the parables, and threw this parable at me, and this parable is one that I absolutely love. We're going to get into it tonight. It's Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, or your phones, or your computers or whatever you use, go ahead and just mark Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. And this is a very, very short passage, like many of the parables, but there is a extremely profound principle here that I'm telling you it is so important that we look at this principle that Jesus is speaking about tonight. So before we get into that, though, I wanted to talk with you about a conversation I was actually having with my wife this morning. My wife homeschools our two children, Wesley, who's 5 years old. He's in kindergarten. So she homeschools our two children. There's Wesley, who's 5 years old. He's in kindergarten. He's right at that age where he's starting to learn to write his name, trace his letters. And then we have my daughter, Aurora. And Aurora is in the fourth grade. And we are working through some of the challenges of homeschool and what that is for us and how to explain things to her. One of my favorite things to teach her is really the science. I love to walk through the science, go through like California environment. We come with all kinds of illustrations and examples to talk about how science works together and give her some kind of understanding. It's like giving her like a little construct, like a little kid construct. Like, okay, so air is kind of like this. There's pressure in a balloon, and when you open a door, wind comes out of a building, and we kind of teach her different things like that. So love teaching her the sciences, the language arts, all of that is great. There's one subject where me and my wife are absolutely ill-equipped to teach, completely ill-equipped to teach, and that is this brand new method of teaching math. It is called Common Core, and I have this love and absolute hate relationship with Common Core. I love the concept of it, and I absolutely hate teaching it to my daughter or hearing like, okay, how are we supposed to do this? Let me explain to you why I hate doing it. Now, for many of you, if you, grew up in a school system, public school system, or homeschool or whatever of the last 30, 40, 50 years, math is math, right? 1 + 1 = 2. You don't, like, that is like the fundamental principle of like the universe, right? Like all science everywhere is like, okay, math is math. You cannot argue with the math of things. 4 + 4 = 8. 10 + 15, that equals 15. 2 + 2 = 4. You don't argue with that. And the way that you're thinking of it in your head right now is probably very simple. You're probably thinking, if I was to say 10 + 15, you would say, okay, well, I add this digit to that digit, and I put the final digit down here. Are you guys doing this in your head? Yeah, and so this is the way you do it. That is not the way they do it with Common Core. You are thinking in a very limited construct, a very limited framework as to how to arrive at that answer. You see, with what they do with Common Core, it would be taking like the number 10 plus the number 90, and they would tell you this. They see, this is what you need to do. You need to take a 2, and you can take 2 + 8, and that equals 10. And you can take that 90, and you could break that down into a 20 and a 15 and a 30 and another 10 and another 3. See, what you could do, you could take that 2 from that 10, you can add it to this 3 over here to construct this 5, and this 5 can then be added to this 35 to add 40. And then you can take that 40, and you can add it to this 50 here, and then add another 10 that you borrowed from the 90. There you go, 100. That's awesome, right? Okay. They're basically taking some of those little shortcuts that we do in our math, in our head for math, and they're trying to structure it and streamline it, and that's why I say it's a love-hate relationship, because we all do it, but we just don't teach it that way. right? And so I hate it. And it makes me think of it like this when thinking like, what, if that didn't make any sense to you, it kind of sounds like this. This is the joke that goes around about this new method of teaching math. And it says this, if you have, think of it like this. If you have 4 pencils and 7 apples, how many pancakes will fit on the roof? Well, wait, here's the answer. The answer is purple because aliens don't have hats. So it makes like as much sense to me as that sentence does, and maybe to you guys. So what they're doing is that they're taking this new way of thinking, this new construct, this new method, this new approach, and they're giving it to us who are used to the tried and true, the old traditional, and they're saying, here, now teach this. And as we try to bring those two worlds together as best as we can, you know what happens to my daughter? She is absolutely confused. She's like, I have no idea what's going on with Common Core or Mom and Dad's Way because everything's just mixed and it's jumbled up and it doesn't work. But tonight, we're going to look at a brief passage of Scripture where we see how Jesus talks about this principle of how mixing the old and mixing the new in the way that we think, in these constructs that we have, it does not work. And Jesus brought the new and he completely disrupted the old. Let's go ahead and pray tonight and we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for everybody who's in this courtyard, for anybody who's on the outside that can possibly hear because of the speakers out here, Lord. I thank you for just putting us in a place with beautiful weather where we can sit under your stars outside. We can be in fellowship with each other, hear great music, have cups of coffee, worship and fellowship together in absolute freedom, and being comfortable, Lord, in the place that we're at. May your spirit of peace just fill this place tonight, and may we be filled with your love and your kindness. In your name, amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to, a little bit of context. Jesus stepped down into the religious system of the day. So Jesus, the divine creator of all, God, he manifested himself, made himself into person who is Christ, right? Started doing ministry, started walking around and teaching people. And the time of history that he picked was perfect. It was the time that when he stepped into this religious system, this belief system that had completely taken over. And what it was people who had adopted this legalistic way of teaching about God and understanding God. They had fallen completely back onto the traditions of old, and they have sacrificed basically all spiritual principles in which those traditions were supposed to represent. They were doing the tradition without understanding the spiritual principle that was to come alongside that tradition. And that was what was happening. And Jesus landed, bam, right there in the center of culture when that was going on. And Jesus's focus was completely not on any of the traditions. His focus was completely on the spiritual principles. And that was what he was trying to teach. 2 chapters before this, you go and you see Matthew, or a couple chapters before this, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you have the Sermon on the Mount, and this is where Jesus goes through a ton of these spiritual principles. We find ourselves in Matthew chapter 9, and this is, we'll go ahead and start reading here, Matthew chapter 9. Let me read and explain as I go. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 14. It says this, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often? Please take note of the two people referenced here, right here. The disciples of John, so other disciples, and the Pharisees, we are observing a tradition and a practice that we are doing. And then they look at Jesus with this wonderful sin of comparison. And it says this, why do we and the Pharisees fast all the time? Why do we observe this tradition and this practice, but your disciples do not fast, Jesus? Hey, look at us. We're doing this all the time. We're doing the tradition. We're keeping the old. We keep going with it. We're doing it, Jesus, but they're not. Tell us why. And I love Jesus. Love Jesus, because every time you read Jesus and you see Jesus's reply to all of these, like, okay, we're going to trip him up, we're going to give them, Jesus very quickly, like, throws something back at him and says, okay, I'm going to flip your thinking upside down. And this is what Jesus said. Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Just right there. Guys, the spiritual principle of fasting is about connecting with the Lord, with God. Guess what? I'm right in front of your face. Why would they fast when they're with me right now? Why would the wedding party fast and mourn for the bridegroom when the bridegroom's standing there with them right next to them? Come on, guys. Really, it's that simple. Jesus throws it out there. And then he says this. He says, but don't worry. The days will come when the bridegroom, I myself, the Lord, will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Right? Right now, I'm standing before them. I'm with them. I'm connected to them. They don't need to fast. They don't need to take time to fast. They need to spend time with me because I'm physically in their presence. Right? You guys are trying to connect with God by doing this tradition and this practice, but I'm sitting here right in front of you. He says, don't worry. I'll leave one day, okay? I'll leave, and then they will go back to fasting. So that is what Jesus is talking about right there. And then he says this, now no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. And Jesus restates his point. He's saying, look, I'm bringing something new. You guys are talking about traditions. You're talking about things of the past, and I am bringing something new. Look, I'm here in front of you. Spend time with me. So he says, if you take a piece of cloth, brand new cloth, and you attach it to something that's old, it's not going to work. It's going to make the tear even worse. Nobody in their right mind would take a new piece of cloth and try to patch an old garment with it. Guys, it doesn't work. You have to change the way that you're thinking. And this is one of the most famous ones and probably the most titled for this spiritual principle right here. And it's in verse 17, and this is the new wineskin. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. Now, this is one where the context needs to be explained a little bit more, because the hearers of the time who Jesus was teaching, they would completely understand this, but this is what was going on. Jesus was talking about the winemaking process, because what would happen, they'd squish all the grapes, they'd get all the wine juices together, and then they would take an animal skin, and they would, skin the animal, they'd have the leather of the skin, turn it inside out, clean it all, make that happen. They would tie the legs of the animal together, they'd tie the neck off, the tail off, they'd basically make like a little bag out of it, and then they would fill that bag with some of that wine juice. Well, and then what would happen after they filled that bag with that wine juice is that that bag would be set aside or put to the side. And over the next few months, the process of fermentation would take place. Fermentation would then start to expand the inside of that bag, and it would stretch that animal skin out until it was totally stretched and looked like a little balloon. And then when that would happen, then they would know that the wine is ready. So they'd take the wine out. Thus, once the bag has been stretched, it has become not a new wineskin, it's been used, so it's an old wineskin. So what would happen with an already stretched bag? If you were to take new wine and you were to put it into that old bag, and then you were to set it aside for a few months, as time progressed and more fermentation took place, that bag would expand and it would completely rip and all the wine would be spilt. So what's Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, you guys, I am introducing a new way of thinking. I'm offering you a new construct, a new thing to understand. You that are so used to the traditions and the principles of the past, you're so used to that. You're holding on to that. You're comparing us with that. You're going back to that sin of comparison. You can't even comprehend or understand what I'm doing because I'm offering something brand new. I am that new wine. So as we think of that principle, one of the things that we need to take away is really that application. So how does this apply to us? What's Jesus saying? What does it mean? Jesus wanted those people of that time to understand a new way of thinking, that it wasn't about the tradition. It wasn't about the little tiny things that you did. It wasn't about just fasting. It was about being connected to the Lord. And for us today, we're glad because that new wine came 2,000 years ago. We've heard this message over and over and over and over again, and we get it, right? We totally get it. We're not going to go back to those old traditions of the past. We're not going to go sacrifice the animals. We don't have to observe the Sabbath on Saturday. We don't have to do it on sundown. We do it on Sunday, right? We know that. We don't have to do that. But be careful, believer, follower of Jesus. You are human, just like the Pharisees and John's disciples were human back then. And built into us is this nasty little habit. And as time goes on, even though we know what we're supposed to know, just like they did, right? We like to build our own constructs. We like to add things to the message of Jesus. We like to add stuff, and we start to complicate the faith so much, just like the Pharisees did of that time. And if we're honest, we ourselves today maybe have some rigid systems and practices that have been put in place that, in the same way, have taken place of the spiritual principles that God wants us to understand. It's natural when we have a good thing going and you're going back in your mind, and I'll go back in my mind. Man, I remember youth group. I remember going back to youth group, and I remember going to summer camp for the first time. Went to summer camp with Hume Lake, awesome experience, right? First time, big band, big speaker, all these wonderful friends, activities were done a certain way. It was so good. I experienced the Lord. I accepted the Lord, gave my life to the Lord, right? It was so good. Guess what? Next year went back, so good. The band's the same band. Speaker's actually like the same guy because they probably didn't get a new one, right? Same thing, right? So good. Went back year three. Guess what? New band, new speaker. I just didn't feel spiritually impacted this week. You know, it just wasn't different, right? It just wasn't that good. And I myself know, like, because I had emotionally attached myself to certain things when I experienced the Lord, right? And that happens for all of us. The sight or the senses that we have, the sense of smell, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, those are all experiential senses. And I've known people who have had incredible moments, in old church buildings with stained glass windows, where the light switches had been painted over because they didn't take the time to paint around them, where the smell of old rusty water and dripping little rust stains along the wall, to them, that was just God, because they remember that of their youth, right? And those things aren't God. Those things call back a feeling and an emotion in your mind of what you remember. But what was God is the love that you experienced at the time. And that love exists all the time. Jesus is challenging them in this time with that. Now, for us, we do make certain habits and practices, things that start off as being maybe good habits, like going to church on Sunday morning. We go to church on Sunday morning. We need the Word. We need to be filled with the Word every Sunday. We go, 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 go. But as a culture and as a society, so many people rush through the doors to go and sit down and to be in the sanctuary, to be in the building. And by being in the building, I am more spiritually filled because I am in the building. No. Being in the building does not make you spiritually filled. Your heart and your mind actually have to be open to receiving the Word of God. And that doesn't require a gigantic building to do so. But we feel comfort in that construct. It's familiar to us. Challenging that. We become so focused on the running of the day-to-day that sometimes many of us, we have a 10-minute Bible reading plan, which is so good. It is so good. 10-minute Bible reading plan. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to read my Bible for 10 minutes. And it's such a good thing that started off as a great spiritual practice that then developed into only a good daily habit. And pretty soon you start reading your Bible and you're not really impacted by it. Because then all of a sudden it becomes just a good tradition. It's a good tradition that we uphold in my house. And then that's all it becomes. And it loses its weight and its substance. And a new generation comes along and they say, I don't see the substance. I don't see it. Now, Jesus is calling his followers here. He's calling us. And back then, he's saying, I'm bringing something new, you guys. I want you to focus on the spiritual importance of things. You need to walk around with spiritual eyes. Paul writes about this in the famous passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, really reinforces this point. And it's not just a cliche thing that you could buy in a bookstore, a really great Facebook or Instagram post. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives the description of love. And it says this. It says, if you have all of the knowledge of everything in the world, but you have not love, it's meaningless. If you can speak all kinds of prophecies, but you have not love, you're just like a resounding gong. Even more than that, if you are a martyr and you are burned at the stake, but you have not love, then it's pointless. That's the message that is the message of Christ, is that in everything you do it with the spiritual emphasis and the spiritual power of God's Spirit. You do not just get into a habit or a tradition just for the sake of tradition's sake, because you will end up spiritually dry if you do that. Now, it's important that we always take some time every single day to reflect on our own life, to think about, okay, God, heard this message tonight, heard this thing. Tonight, I'm going to do some reflection. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to do some reflection. And I would challenge you to maybe take some time aside to go before the Lord and ask the Lord, God, I'm here at church right now. This is good. I've been a believer for 20 years. I've been a believer for 30 years. I've been a believer for 40 years. I've been a believer for 50 years. Okay? God, are there things in my life that have become rigid, that have become only tradition, that have lost their spiritual impact in me? I'll give you a good test for you to think about right now. If you want to find out if something has become rigid in you, if there's been a rigid tradition that's been built up, how do you react when something comes along to push it a little bit? There's this old saying that says this, blessed are the flexible, for they will bend, and if you know it, they will not break. Blessed are the flexible, for they will bend, and they will not break. It's not a part of scripture, it's just an old saying. And I think there's something that's beautiful about that. It's talking about, if you want to know if you're rigid, see if something pushes you. Now, always test anything that pushes you with scripture. Let me be clear on that. Always test it with scripture. But if it pushes you a little bit, and you're really rigid against it, but it agrees with scripture, be very careful. Be very careful what you've built up. I want to give you just a saying that I want us to think about, which is similar to blessed are the flexible, but it's this. I think that this could be a good way of saying that same thing, just in a little bit of a new light, especially in light of this passage here. Blessed are the stretchable. Blessed are the stretchable, for they will expand, but they won't burst. The difference between the two is one talks about an outside force pushing against you, and you bending with that outside force, but keeping your position. I believe what Jesus is talking about when it comes to being filled with his Spirit is something that is not an outside force just pushing you. It's an internal force growing you, expanding you to grow personally. Colossians 1:9 says this, and so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's the same, actually, that phrase is repeated all throughout scripture. All wisdom, all knowledge, and spiritual understanding. First mentioned back in Exodus chapter 31. God's desire for you is that you are to grow, that you are to expand the things that you know. Constructs things that are familiar are comfortable, and that's why we gravitate towards them. But when we become comfortable and we become rigid, then expansion stops. And God has this funny little way of really pushing his church and his people to continue to grow over the ages. My prayer for you is that as you leave here tonight, as you go home and wake up tomorrow morning, you start doing some considering, some thinking, and some praying about your own faith and your position, and ask yourself, God, am I really being filled with your Spirit? Am I really walking around with spiritual wisdom and understanding? Do I have spiritual eyes on? Or am I just doing the thing that I'm doing because it feels good, because it feels right, because I'm used to it? Be careful in that. There's a life that God wants for you that is filled to overflowing with spiritual growth. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We pray, Lord, that tonight as we close out and we just thank you for who you are and what you've done, Lord. From the beginning of all of time, you have been communicating with man, God, your heart and your passion for our growth and our ability to grow closer with you. Through the ages and the ages and the years and the seasons and the change and the differences, Lord, you remain faithful. Your word remains faithful. It all stays the same. God, help us, Lord, to build upon the core of your word, Lord, and nothing else. Not on our traditions, Lord, but only on you. In your name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.